The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Good morning, Sovereign Minds.
Woohoo!
That was a little weak there.
Well, I guess I could have yelled at the mic, but I'm just kind of in a nice, quiet mood this morning. I feel like feel almost a little bit serene. I should be in a field with a sitar playing in the background or something while the butterflies go by, and I'm have my thumbs.
You want a lollipop too with that?
Oh.
I only happen to be half an energy drink in, so these lights get completely off. Like, you know, about to go into some ASMR.
Well, I didn't get home till like 11:30, and that's like way late for us old people.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, okay.
So as soon as I walked through the door, my program just totally screwed up here. So I guess we'll wing it.
We got a lot of things.
I'm here in the studio with my sister Linda, who does all the heavy lifting.
And, good morning, everybody.
And Dave's back.
Good morning, Sovereign Minds.
There you go. I'm having a recovery.
He's way too happy though. Sometimes, you know.
I'm having a recovery issue. Look at this.
Sometimes.
Look at this. I'm having. It's like all of a sudden not responding, and I got nothing.
Why should that surprise you? I mean, everything's just crazy.
Yeah, I hope. I don't think it's going to save what I just did, but that's okay. I'm not going to save it. I'm gonna close it and just move on.
That's all we can do. Move on.
Yeah, we're brought to you by Julie Foster.
And don't forget about Crackmaster.
And Crackmasters. Well, why don't you go ahead and read your announcements, and I'll see if I can get my stuff back.
Well, I'll skip Crackmasters for now, but I have Dine and Donate fundraising event coming September 13th, and this is for the Reading Veterans Home, and it's at Black Bear Diner. But there is a little catch here, is you have to have this code that I'm going to read in order to have some of the proceeds go to help the veterans home. The code is 533-537-330. And all day long, if you use that code, 20% will go to the veterans home to help with some of the things that they need out there. You know, the state doesn't always give them all the nice things and comforts of home, so. That would be good. Again, that is September 13th. And, of course, from Frankie, I got Pisano Days coming.
It's a Pisano.
I know. Yeah.
Atsumata for you.
Yeah, and it's coming quick. It's Friday, September 15th, and Saturday, September 16th at South City Park. So there's all kinds of good stuff. All-you-can-eat spaghetti from 5 to 8 p.m., Saturday, they have, you know, bocce ball or bocce ball, however
bocce.
I think it's bocce.
That's a modifier.
Again, there's always a lot of activities going on, and that's at South City Park on September 15th and 16th. And then, of course, we have Veterans Day coming. And it's going to be the parade in Shasta Lake City is going to be on Saturday, November 4th. It starts at 10 a.m. It is one of the largest veterans parade in the North State. It's always a good time out there. Hopefully this year it won't be raining. Last year it was pouring rain. We still went on. It was still a lot of fun. But anyway, so mark your calendars for Saturday, November 4th at 10 a.m. And it's in Shasta Lake City. Remember, in the morning they have pancake breakfast. In the afternoon, a lunch is put on with the American Legion. And just a lot of good time to show your support out there. So, again, November 4th.
Well, you know, it's not a good day when you have to reboot your computer during the during the first segment.
And I have one more, yeah. This one is kind of a important one. This is the Golden State Tour, November 8th through the 12th. This is put on by the AMVETS. And this has to do with suicide awareness for veterans. And they will be out at Igo Cemetery at 11 a.m. on Veterans Day. And this is raising awareness of veteran suicide and mental health issues. So, again, that is November 11th out at Igo Cemetery, and this is put on by AMVETS.
I think I'm almost completely restored.
I don't know about being restored, but...
Well, talk about restored.
Hold on. Go ahead. It's all coming back up, and I'm having to shut windows.
Right.
Here.
So, President of Venezuela this last week, he has one of those hot mic moments. He just happens to be on air, gets off air. His people, mind you, are all starving, and he reaches down into his little drawer and pulls a drawer out, and then starts eating an empanada on air.
Nice.
In front of all of his starving citizens.
All right, cool.
Nice guy.
That's the Marxist way.
Well, let them eat.
It's kind of like a Marie Antoinette moment. Let them eat an empanada. Let them have
okay.
them.
Okay.
I'm okay starting a trade program.
I want to turn my mic down a little bit. It's like a blasting in my ears here.
We could take all the commies that are here and send them to communist countries.
Yeah.
And let them enjoy the communism, and we'll take trades for the hardworking people. Like, there's a lot of people in Venezuela. I would not mind having citizens here. Like, let's just trade. You want communism. They want freedom. Let's make it happen.
There you have it.
What is the matter with you? What happened to you while you were gone?
That is a loaded question. Yeah.
That's true.
He had a sickness.
Yeah.
We're not sure what kind.
No darkness, my old friend.
Whoa, okay.
All right. So let's start off with a segment of JP, because we've got guests coming in. And
we will have a busy day.
Yeah. So, okay, so this is a segment. This is our friend from the We Lie to You News Network. Here we go.
Good evening. Oh. We wish you would have been aborted. As election season is heating up, there are rumors that...
There we go.
Good evening. We wish you would have been aborted. As election season is heating up, there are rumors that more and more people are disconnecting from the mothership of thought, cable news, and doing their own thinking about the candidates, and therefore coming to conclusions that are not approved of by state-sponsored media. So tonight, we're as happy as you can get on Prozac to say that the current administration has back-channeled orders to us to give you a special report on all the major candidates to help you align your thoughts like a backwards compass, including RFK Jr., Ron DeSantis, Vivek Ramaswamy, Criminal Trump, and His Holiness Joe Biden. We'll start with RFK Jr. RFK Jr. made the list of Biden's 12 biggest spreaders of misinformation online. All of his misinformation has been proven to be true, which makes it the most offensive kind of misinformation. Though labeling himself as a Democrat, the Democratic establishment is just as fearful of him as they are of Trump. Nothing to see here. He wrote the best-selling book entitled The Real Anthony Fauci, where he pulls back the curtain on all the corruption, if not crimes against humanity, of the modern-day Joseph Goebbels. All of his accusations are unequivocally false. Though he provides references for every statement he makes and has never been sued for defamation, which would suggest everything he says of Fauci is true. but it's probably not. As we at the media have been ordered to give RFK Jr. no real coverage, he's appeared on popular podcasts like Joe Rogan, where the more he talks, the more people seem to fall in love with him and trust him. But don't fall for it, because he's proven to be very untrustworthy when it comes to towing the line on the agenda that we know you know about, but we pretend that you don't know about. As a candidate, RFK Jr. receives our approval rating of 0 stars out of 5. On to Vivek Ramaswamy. We on the left preach to you that skin color should be the first consideration with anything, which oddly enough is the same philosophy that the KKK has. So you would think we would automatically get behind Vivek for the level of diversity he brings via his skin color. But given the fact he has no interest in being controlled, we're proud to bring you the breaking news that Vivek is probably secretly white, and therefore he's a piece of trash that you should never vote for. As a candidate, Vivek receives our approval rating of just 1 white star out of 5. Ron DeSantis, he's a conservative, so we don't like him. But as far as the establishment is concerned, he's our guy we want winning the Republican primary. Though he doesn't play ball with lockdowns or the disease of wokeness, we seem to be suspiciously unthreatened by him. And when DeSantis recently came out and said that he thinks Biden legitimately won the 2020 election, we say to him, "Thank you, Ron, for playing ball. You're the only opponent of Biden's that we won't smear." As a candidate, Ron DeSantis gets our approval rating of 3 racist stars out of 5. Next candidate, President Trump. He will soon be either in prison or assassinated, so let's go over his track record while we're still pretending it's relevant. Trump committed treason by saying there was fraudulent activity in the 2020 elections. That is the biggest no-no you can think of, something that no one should ever say. It also kind of makes you think, like, well then, if there is election fraud, what are you supposed to say? Trump's greatest accomplishment was orchestrating an insurrection on January 6th by using a secret code language. Amazing how he seemingly telepathically communicates the opposite message of what his actual words are. As he served as president while being accused by Hillary Clinton of stealing the election, he put our nation in tremendous jeopardy by not getting us into any more wars. He also caused endless financial hardship on Americans by boosting the economy. And the most important thing to think of when Trump comes to mind is his 91 indictments that have him facing over 700 years in prison and the death penalty. Maybe we should cut that part out, because the more we say it, the more people like him. As his 2024 candidacy goes, there's a virus that's making a comeback that always tends to get more severe during the time of elections. So we wish Trump luck earning enough votes via mail-in ballots. For some reason, we feel confident he doesn't even stand a chance. As a candidate, Trump earns our approval rating of 1 bullet out of 5 stars. Candidate, Joe Biden. What can we say? Most popular president in U.S. history. Prior to taking office, he's alleged to have sold influence of his previous office of vice presidency. But as you can see here, the Biden influence peddling timeline is so vast and thorough that it isn't even worth going over, and it has too many highly correlated details to be valid. So, think nothing of it. As president, Biden has taken great strides to secure our border by breaking it down. He's walked up steps in very unique ways, taken bicycle rides, and he's shaken hands with people only he can see. And in pulling out of Afghanistan, telling 10,000 Americans that he left behind to go f*** themselves was his top strategy. And when the globalists set fire to Maui via climate change, he rushed off immediately, 2 weeks later, to let all the residents know that he once had a small fire in his kitchen so they could give him sympathy. He then put Maui residents at ease by taking a nap in front of them. Assuming we can keep Biden's vital signs alive, get a certain amount of compliance with lockdowns and mail-in ballots, Biden is virtually a shoo-in to win a second term as president. And as a candidate, we're gonna need to start hiding him in his basement again pretty soon. Joseph R. Hunter's dad earns our approval rating of 81 million stars out of 5. That's it for our full presidential candidate report. RFK Jr. and Trump are who we work the hardest to discredit. In 2028, Vivek will be on the top of that list. You should never vote for the evil, rotten Republicans, but if you do, it should definitely be DeSantis. And Joe Biden is such a sure thing that we don't even think we should have elections anymore. But we'll let you keep thinking that we do. Good night.
Our friend JP again. He's like Mr. Opposite, you know. Whatever he says is exactly the opposite of what's actually happening.
One of these things is not like the other.
Exactly. You know, it's like, where's Waldo? All right. So, you know, it's, boy, there's a lot to unpack with all that, with the candidates and everything else. And you know, the race is heating up, and Trump's approval rating is going through the roof. Yeah. Biden's is going through the basement. But he's going to win as the most popular president. And I don't know. I think they're going to switch the guy out. I mean,
I think they will, too.
I think there's a lot of talk about Michelle Obama now. There's a lot
Gavin.
Gavin. I don't think they want Gavin, because what's Gavin going to run on? Michelle doesn't have a record, you know, other than she's attached to the whatever.
Well, is it Michelle or is it Michael?
Yes.
What are we talking about? Oh, never mind. And so, but Gavin is going to run out of the economy in California.
Yeah, but evidently people like him.
I don't understand how.
I mean, Nancy's running again. Did you hear that? Well, at 83, she's going to run again. She's been in there for how many years?
Did you see?
I can't believe she's still alive.
Did you see what she said in her statement that she put out that she was going to run again?
Yes, I did. That's absolutely.
I'm
going to pull it up here.
How's about we take both Mitch McConnell and Nancy Pelosi and ship them on a boat to Venezuela? Both sides loses one. You got to be careful about the train station. I'm not sure if you saw Yosemite. Or not Yosemite, what was it? Yellowstone.
Yeah, that's exactly now. So, anyway, no, I didn't see what she said, but I couldn't believe when I heard that she was going to run again. It's like, oh my God. Well, really?
She's running as a, and I think the Crypt Keeper is probably going to be running as well, but you know, that's another story. So I'm going to
see the best man.
Well, no, that would be the husband and the hammer. So I think I got it right here. I'm going to pull it up. But her statement, I read it. I actually have it on Twitter. Let me see if we can play this here. This is Nancy Pelosi. Here we go.
Thank you for the opportunity to share some thoughts with you. And care for each other. When people ask me what are the three most important issues in our ongoing engagement for skills, our safe communities require gun violence prevention, addressing the root causes of crime, and supporting law enforcement with justice in policing. Our vision for a world at peace requires a strong democracy at home as an example to the world. We are grateful to our men, women in uniform, veterans, and military families, and honor their sacrifice with our insistence on securing voting rights, an end to big, dark money in politics, and amplifying the voice of the grassroots.
It's spooling again.
What is she smoking?
How out of touch do you have to be?
I mean, she's got to be smoking or taking something, right? I mean, listen.
Wow. I mean, I could probably read the rest of it. It's like... it's like try not to laugh is where it's at. I mean, on this whole thing,
she's done the opposite for years.
She's using San Francisco as the shining example
of what
her policies and.
That's a shining star on the hill.
The
Babylon, we can live without.
Babylon Bee ended up coming out with an article that was suggesting that the hurricane was a welcome thing because it was going to come in and wash all the crap off of the streets.
That's pretty bad when you have to wish for a hurricane to clean up a city. I'm just saying. Yeah.
For some reason, the Twitter content is not spooling. Don't ask me why.
Maybe they don't like
it. Maybe I can watch it on Twitter. Oh, it's not Twitter anymore.
It's X. Come on, it's X.
Welcome to the X Zone.
Let's try this again.
The X Files?
Let's see if I can get it to play on X here. I think it'll work on X better than the... we're not getting any sound. What's going on here?
I don't know. But
I guess,
anyway, yeah. I mean, you got the gist of it. I mean, this. Wow. I couldn't listen to her anymore anyway.
Well, it's kind of tough listening to her to begin with because she slurs her words so badly half the time she's talking.
Well, and
I think she was drunk when she was reading this. I mean, yeah.
Looking at the house and the...
Okay, I got it here. Hold on. Okay, let's try it again. Oh, I see what's going on. Let's try it.
And honor their sacrifice with our insistence on securing voting rights and end big, dark money in politics.
Here we go.
And amplifying the voice of the grassroots.
While
we've made progress, much more needs to be done to improve people's lives. Our democracy is at risk because of the assault on the truth, the assault on the U.S. Capitol, and the state-by-state assault on voting rights. This election is crucial. Nothing less is at stake than our democracy. But as we say, we don't agonize, we organize. And that is why I am running for re-election to Congress and respectfully seek your support. I would be greatly honored by it and grateful for it. Thank you so much.
Wow.
Wow. And then it goes on with it's about the children, and it's such a load of crap. That
at this point, when you've got these people that clearly have some problems that are saying it's about the children, I believe them. It's just not good for the children.
Right.
For them,
it's about the children.
Well, yeah, their idea of
the children
and our idea of children is way different.
Totally different.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's funny. If you go to the comments and you read some of the comments on these things, it's like, you know.
All right, so Dianne Feinstein's still there. Mitch McConnell's still there. This bimbo's still there. Can we all, like, come to an agreement if you, like, Mitch McConnell, somebody flicked his light switch off, like, twice this last two
in a couple weeks, yeah.
Yeah, all right, so he's...
Did you understand the question?
He's representing you and I? In that position, at this point, it's starting to look like the most expensive old folks' home in America is the House and the Senate. That's what it looks like.
Well,
right now.
I mean, you know, I got to read a couple of these comments from Pelosi. It's last time here. This is Five Times August commenting. Last time I visited San Francisco, there was three things that really stuck out to me: the lovely aroma of urine wafting through the air, chants from protests down several streets, and this guy walking around Alamo Square, and it shows a picture of a guy walking around Alamo Square in a jock strap with his, junk kind of poking out, taking, pictures. I'm not even sure what with. It's like he looks like something out of a, you know, next one, where are the poop crime needles in the backdrop? No, not the Tony place it used to be. And it just goes on and on and on. How these people can, X is becoming is a cesspool of absolute mudslinging. But at the same time, you're looking at what's happened in San Francisco. How can you even possibly say that what you did was with your policies in your district
was good?
Was good,
and it's working.
Because they have no filter. They don't care. They lie as a matter of their mouths opening and talking. And this most politicians, I mean, look at Mitch McConnell. I mean, and let's talk about Kevin McCarthy. You know, I went to the GOP thing last night, and why isn't Kevin McCarthy, doing articles of impeachment and an inquiry at this point?
Mm-hmm.
Why is he not doing that? Because it would give him more power to go after more records, to go after Joe Biden.
He would do his job?
I think it's on both sides of the aisle and, you know, people, Republicans and Democrats on both sides of the aisle have a tendency, the hardcore ones, to justify everything with their guy no matter what happens. And I just can't do it. You know, I just, you know, I call them as they see them. And, you know, for all the meatheads out there that think I'm a MAGA guy. Yeah, I guess I am a MAGA guy because he's the only one that I've seen so far that actually was operating in the best interest of the American people by his policies. You didn't like what he had to say because what the guy said was the truth most of the time. And the truth hurts people when they, you know, have been living in a sea of lies. You don't want to hear the truth. If you're ugly as hell and someone says, oh, you're ugly as hell, you don't want to hear that truth. You know?
Sometimes you need to, though.
Yeah, especially if you're living in San Francisco, walking around in the middle of a square with your junk hanging out, taking pictures. Someone probably does need to tell you something, you know?
Yeah, exactly. But that's the problem is, you know, they're doing it all over again, you know, under the guise, you know, they, for the children's good and all this stuff, and they're doing stuff like that. It's like, wow, these are some sick, evil individuals.
Well, you know, and the news doesn't report crap, but so this last week, you know, I was listening to our local news source, you know, the, where the truth matters and, you know.
We get the story straight.
Yeah, right. We get the story straight. We just forget all the details. This whole thing with this, money from, PG&E and the bail.
Yeah, with the DA, our beautiful DA.
They run the story with the DA about how, and the person, and the interview that they did with the family. But what they forgot to say in the story, which is kind of interesting, is that Stephanie Bridget is on the board of directors
as well.
I know,
is it funny how they just skipped over that part of it?
That just kind of didn't go through. Oh yeah, she's, you know, worked the children and all this stuff. But it's not, I guess we just forgot the fact that she's the treasurer.
I think secretary.
Is she the secretary?
I think secretary. Whatever it is.
So you're giving $7 million to an organization you're on the board of?
Not only that, but then you got the sheriff on there, and you've got Aaron Risner on there.
You got
and
the chief of police.
They totally skipped over that part of it.
Yeah, they should have
made
least,
the connection.
If they were going to be a truth, do a truthful
report.
Do the whole thing. Show who's on the board.
Yeah.
Because it stinks to high heaven no matter how you slice the pie.
Yeah. It's amazing that, they don't tell the whole story about that and, they never say anything bad or, you know, bring out all the information on our DA. They don't do it.
Well, and then last night I was at you know, I said something about Stephanie Bridget, and I think that if she's going to prosecute people, maybe she needs to start prosecuting the people that actually commit crimes. You know,
yeah, the right ones.
The people that actually commit crimes. I don't want right or wrong. I want the guys who are doing the wrong.
That's what I mean,
but the thing is that they don't prosecute the people that need to be prosecuted, but they target the people that are you know, law-abiding citizens, you know? So, what she said was, and I was standing in line there, she goes, her hands are tied by Gavin Newsom.
Really?
So I guess right and wrong and her discretion, she has a ton of discretion, but her hands are tied by Gavin Newsom?
And we want to keep her in there because of that?
I don't know.
I don't know. We do have a caller. Do we want to go to break or to the caller? I can't.
Let's go to the caller and then we'll
okay.
go to break.
Okay. Good morning, Jean.
Good morning. This is a quick call. Somewhere you've got to take and make a big sign, you know, there in the station, that every time you mention the name Gavin Newsom, it's always Gavin Newsom, Nancy Pelosi's nephew. And when you talk about Nancy Pelosi, you talk about aunt of Gavin Newsom. We got to get that out on every radio station, on every TV. People have to get that connection because a lot of them, I'm shocked, don't know.
Yeah, you're absolutely spot on. And also, did you know that Nancy Pelosi was the daughter of a mafia man in Baltimore?
In Baltimore, yes. Mm-hmm. Talk about that stuff. You've got to get that connection in there. You know, the crooked family, you know.
Yeah, it's like
there's a few of them.
It seems like we have a lot of crime families in government at this point.
Well,
you think?
That's why we need term limits.
Mm-hmm.
I agree.
We need fair elections.
My term limits are this: senators get 3 5-year terms, 15 years. Representatives get 4 4-year terms. because they're the closest to the, you know, they've been the closest to the people. And so we've got, you know, 15 and 16 years, and you're done.
And then also...
Get it over with.
Right. I would say on top of that, too, if you've served in the House or the Senate, you can't be a lobbyist.
Exactly. Not only that, but you don't run for the next one. You're not a representative and run for the Senate.
Right.
This whole idea that we have a never-ending cycle of people like Biden's that go into office, don't ever have any jobs whatsoever. If they do end up getting voted out, they end up getting hired on as one of these top-tier lobbyists.
Exactly.
And then they have all these perks and go back in and talk to all their own friends and get all the money from you and I to pay for all their crud bills.
Yep.
But at the same time, we need fair elections. We've got to get a hold of our election cycles and everything, because if we don't, it's not going to matter. They just keep putting people in there because they're cheating and lying.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, let's go to a break.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Gina.
All right. Thank you. We
Bye-bye.
Appreciate it. And with that, we will take a break, and we will bring our guests in for the next part of the show. You're listening to KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
I bet the old man's in the kitchen. He's got my kind of music on his radio. Off drinking his beer and dialing up the request line. Mama and old Aunt Joan, probably in the dining room trying to use the phone. Me, I'm thinking about that girl and later tonight. Oh, yeah. I'm just laid up here in a country.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. Ranked best in Reading and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence, you can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Come join Reading Electric Utility in celebrating Public Power Week on Friday, October 6th. This year's free family event will be held in downtown Reading on the Market Street block. There will be electric safety demonstrations, bucket truck rides, police and fire demonstrations, and free treats. This event will include energy efficient raffle prizes, including a new e-bike. Come join this celebration on Friday, October 6th from 4 p.m. until 6 p.m. For more information, call 339-7300 or visit our Facebook page at Reading Electric Utility.
Sovereign Mind Radio. I wanted to clarify a little thing, a few things about this you know, access as opposed to fear from our politicians. We talk about term limits. We talk about a lot of things. My theory is that a lot of people think that if you've got access to a politician, then you can influence them in their decisions. I think that's completely erroneous. I think the only way that politicians acquiesce to their constituents is if they're afraid of losing their office. It's a mental thing, because as soon as you get into office, you have this tendency to kind of go, wow, they picked me, I'm the chosen one. And if you're not careful over time, you start believing your own air, you know, your own hot air.
Well, sometimes the people believe, if, like you say, if they have access to somebody, that they actually care and will listen.
Yeah.
And that they but take it to heart, and that they'll make their decisions based upon that. But that's not true.
That's what smooth politicians do. They kind of, you know, pat everybody on the head and tell everybody, friends. So anyway.
I'm listening. And with that, before we get to our guests, we do have a caller on the line. We've got Stuart, I believe, on the line. Good morning. Are you there?
Stuart. You're on the air. Maybe Stuart's gone. So maybe we're going to get to our guest.
No, unfortunately, he dropped.
Okay. Well, whoever you are, Stuart, you can call back and we'll put you on the air.
All right. So go ahead and introduce our guest, sister.
All right. Well, we've got Camille King in the studio with us this morning, and she is running for Gateway Unified School District Area 2.
Is it Camille or Camille?
It's Camille, and good morning.
Yeah. Did I say Camille?
You said Camille King. I thought so.
I thought you said Camille.
She might have, but people mispronounce my name and not a lot, and I'm so used to it. Really,
well, they mispronounce mine too. So, but anyway, I'm glad you came in. I saw you last night, and I wanted to get you in because the election isn't that far off.
No,
it's actually in November for you, correct?
Yes, November 7th is the election, which means the ballots are going to be out in early in October. So. Voting will start in just a few weeks.
This November?
Yes, this November. It's a special election. So there was one member of the board who resigned, and it left an open spot. They did try to hire by interview, but couldn't come to an agreement on a candidate, and so it has gone to a special election.
That's Cheryl Clifford. Why did she resign? What was the reason?
You know, I really don't have enough information to answer that for you,
okay,
to tell you the truth.
Yeah. That's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair. Yeah. And so I know you're in the race, and you said maybe there's one other person?
There is one other person that's running against me.
And she's a registered, or he, I'm not sure if it's a he or a she. I guess it's a she.
It's a he.
It's a he. It's a he. It's a he.
Well, is it really a he? No.
Oh, no.
He's a Democrat.
Yes, I have one gentleman running against me.
Yes. Oh, okay.
Okay. Yeah. I have a question for you. What's a woman?
Well,
just kidding.
She's not a biologist. Leave her alone.
So I want to answer that. So, and this is going to sound weird to some, but in defense of the judge who couldn't define it, I know that the Black's Legal Dictionary is what they go by for
Black's Law. Yes,
Black's Law. They go by that for legal definitions, and woman is not in the Black's Law Dictionary. So maybe when she said she couldn't define a woman, maybe it was because in the legal dictionary, it's not in there.
I bet they don't have a frog definition in there either.
Oh, I don't know. I'll have to look when I get home.
Do they have a definition for a man?
They do, and I don't remember.
Oh, but they do. Interesting, yes. But not for a woman. All right.
Well, okay, so we could talk about it.
Yeah.
So
give us some background about you and why you decided to go ahead and put your hat in the ring, as they say.
Okay. Well, I am a mother of two. I live in Shasta County, and I've actually lived in the Gateway area for about 20 years. I love the area that I live in. I love that part of town. It's really my favorite part of town, up in the north end, a little closer to the mountains. And I was like many people and just living my life, enjoying my family, enjoying what I did. And then over these last few years, was awakened like many to see that we really need to start stepping up and stepping in if we want to preserve the future for our children and the next generation, preserve liberties, and make sure that they're given the best tools for success in the future. And so just in watching what was happening during the COVID shutdowns and, you know, seeing what they're not learning and what some of the other states are doing and what our state is passing down. So, like, for instance, in Oregon, where, you know, they don't have to be able to read or do math. They don't have to show that they can read, write, and do math in order to graduate. You know, that's that's coming, and, you know, and I'm not giving the full explanation on that, but they're just making it So there's less and less education that the children are receiving. And it's not, you know, it's not the teachers. The teachers are doing their best. They're doing a great job. It's not, you know, it's just what's coming down from the states. And we just need to make sure that we're stepping in to make sure that the children are getting the best education that they deserve and the best protection for their safety. And there's some things that they don't need to be, it doesn't need to be, there's certain things I don't believe need to be in schools. But
right, because my understanding is they're not laws, they're policy in the school district. Is that true?
So what I mean by certain things is ideologies in general. So like when they're talking about doing sexual education for young children.
Right.
My child last year at 9 years old has blown bubbles in the shower and he's super impressed by the bubbles he's blown with the soap. You know, he's not thinking about anything sexual at this point.
I hope not.
And so when they're talking about teaching young kids, you know, about
right.
sexuality, to me,
I think maybe they kind of stepped over the line a little bit here.
I do believe
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, this is ridiculous, this whole crazy thing.
That's a curriculum exception.
Right.
You know, they're accepting that curriculum. And then also as far as policies, like
right.
the right policies. Yes, there are things that are coming down from the state that are not laws, and we don't have to
abide by it.
It's just a policy.
Mm-hmm. We need to protect the children from some of these.
I want to do a clarification on the definition. They actually do have a definition of woman. It says man. So man, and used in the context of a legal definition, covers a human being, which not only includes adult male sexes of the species, but women, children, and example. Offenses against man immediately against like the king. So what they're saying is, in the legal definition, they're treating everybody equally, man, woman, children, as individuals. So they're actually defining a woman from a legal standpoint as a person.
Mm-hmm. So you're using an electronic version, and I have a paper version, and it's possible that mine is a couple outdated. So
that's a good point.
So just so you know, because mine does not have woman in it. And
well, but if you go and you look at the definition of man, it covers women.
It covers women. Okay.
You see what I'm saying? It's like, because
they put everybody in the same pot.
Well,
no
it's
matter
kind of
what.
Like saying, man has conquered the wilderness. Well, when you hear it in that context, they're speaking of the human race.
One small step for man.
Well, that's what I say. Everybody's in the same pot.
And one giant step for women.
Well, and actually, when you go back and you look actually at the verb and the way it's actually brought up, woe meaning from man. So the idea and concept behind it is a very biblical concept when you go back to it.
The woman is part of a man.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So, yeah, anyway. I just thought I'd clear that up because I wanted to know myself.
I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Well,
anyway.
One of the problems that we face right now is this whole idea and the concept of language is we're constantly changing language to fit whatever narratives we need to have.
You mean the definition?
Of course. I mean, you have dictionaries for a reason. However, when you can't decide on the dictionary terminology behind anything else and you end up changing it three different times –
Well, that's
because I don't like it. I want to change it because I don't like that definition anymore.
Here's the reason that has been happening is the definition of tyranny is arbitrary abuse of power. So if you can arbitrarily change words to mean anything you want and twist them, then you can change what you want done legally any way you want to do it. That's really what it's about. It's kind of like the old good versus evil. You know, if you ever watch that Vampire in Brooklyn with Eddie Murphy, you know, he's up there acting like he's Al Sharpton, and he goes, he says, if there wasn't for evil, there'd be no good. Therefore, good is evil. See, so you can completely flip the definition of good by blurring its real meaning. And that's why these guys do this in this legal arena, because if they can blur the meanings, they can twist it to be meaning anything that they choose it to be.
Interesting,
because they don't like it.
And good, I believe in the Black's Legal Dictionary, is something that does not cause harm and or causing no harm.
Yeah, well, that's the
window now.
That's actually the Hippocratic Oath.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. It's out the window because most of the doctors and stuff don't follow their oath that they took.
Can I go down this rabbit trail for a minute?
Sure.
So, of course, mandate in the Black's Law Dictionary is a great word for people to know. And as far as if there's future mandates that come down, it is, and I don't remember the exact words, but a request that you're only held accountable to if you choose to comply to it?
That's not what a mandate means in a real dictionary.
So here, since we're going down the road,
again,
you pull this up. I've got this right here.
I'm pulling it up.
This is from the CDC.gov. So prior to 2015, vaccination, injection of a killed or weakened infectious organism in order to prevent the disease. Vaccination from 2015 to 2021, the act of introducing a vaccine into the body to produce immunity in a specific disease. Vaccination 2021, the act of introducing a vaccine into the body to produce protection from a specific disease.
Yes, we had to change it.
Three times.
Yeah, so people would go, oh, yeah, I'll get protected. It's for our safety. That's why they changed the definition of a vaccine.
You know, it's here's an example of what I was just talking about, this arbitrary abuse of power. So I looked up mandate and the meaning from Black's Law. And we've got three separate meanings, okay? We've got a judicial command or precept proceeding from a court or judicial officer directing the proper officer to enforce a judgment, sentence, or decree. Then we have an act by one individual empowers another individual to conduct transactions for an individual in that person's name. And another one would be a contract in which a lawful business is committed to the management of another and by him undertaking to be performed gratuitously. So you can see how you can, you know, use a word, and if you completely skew the meaning to the point where you don't even know what it means, then you can basically make it mean anything you want. Isn't that interesting? Yeah, and that's right out of George Orwell's 1984, by the way. You know, who are we fighting this week? Well, I don't know. Tell me. So, craziness indeed. All right. So, I'm not sure how this relates at all.
If anything,
be running for the school board.
I am running for the school board.
And you're not up for mandates and following some of the policies that they want to implement into our county.
I feel that our state has had a lot of overreach. And I don't feel they have any, and I say they, but I mean, it's a lot of people involved. But I feel that there's more that they're going to attempt, and we need a school board that's going to do their best to stand up for the kids and stand up for what we know is right and safe for
the
children.
Well, a lot of people are pulling their kids out because of this kind of crap, you know, and a lot of people can't afford to do that, you
right.
know.
Exactly. And there's people moving, and that's.
But you do have school districts like Orange County and stuff. Which I'm very surprised is they're basically telling the state, you know, we're not following it and everything.
Well,
of all places.
It's not that surprising because Orange County is really a bastion of conservatives down in L.A. It's one of the few counties that are. It's like Simi Valley. But, you know, so they're starting to fight back.
Yeah. You're getting more and more of that, which is, and it's good to see that we're trying to get people on the boards of the school and different areas. So that they can happen in our own backyard.
Absolutely.
Well, it's kind of self-governance. This is the problem with self-governance, is that you have to participate as the body politic, the people, in getting involved. And we have been, you know, schooled, ignoring, having the good life, spending time fishing, and not paying attention to what's been going on in our government, you know, starting at the school level all the way up to the White House. And that's the resurgence that has to happen and is happening. That's why you're running.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So.
What else do you want to get out and tell the people about yourself or what your vision is? Or
well, I will say that in the last board meeting I attended, which was last month, I felt a real high morale in the board meeting. Like, coming from the staff, I felt the superintendent seemed like he was engaged. He knew what was going on. I feel like there's definitely opportunities and positive change for the district. And I really see that this district can stand out as a really good district to be a part of. And I'm just really excited. I want to be part of this team and want to see forward growth for the kids and the staff and, you know, and all the families that are involved. I have a lot of goals in mind, and there's a lot of learning on the job I will do, but I do know that I will, you know, do my best to stand up for what I believe to be true and right. And
I just am dumbfounded at the fact that anybody buys into this woke crap to begin with. I just don't get it. If you want to be a drag queen, go be a drag queen, but don't do it at the kindergarten.
Don't do it with the children, period.
Well, any of it. Yeah. You know, I mean, how, you know, what it is they're saying their rights overshadow everybody else's rights. Nobody else has rights but them. See, and by doing that, you are creating this headbutting thing, when they should respect your rights as well as you. If they want to go do their thing, nobody wants to stop them. But I also have my thing to do with, and my kids, and I want to protect my kids from that crap. Mm-hmm. So I don't understand why anybody's buying this at all.
I agree. I don't understand either. So
well, there's a lot of money and power behind what's going on with the children. If you start doing any kind of research, you know that that's why it's happening.
Sure.
I'm not saying it's right or wrong. Well, I mean, I just read this morning, I think it was in Oklahoma, that principal was appointed, it's a transgender person, and they were a known pedophile.
Yes, they have.
But my point is, how did they get elected in the first place? I'm not talking about everybody. You know, the guys that are in power, sure, a lot of them want money, power, blah, blah, blah. But who's doing the electing? I mean, who buys this crap as a parent?
But how did he pass a background check?
That's what I'm saying.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Exactly. How can you, if you're a sex offender, you can't be within so many feet of a children or whatever, but then you're appointing them into a school system. Mm-hmm. Hello? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What the hell's the matter here? And like you say, where are the parents? How can the parents go, okay.
There seems, at least to me, to have been a giving away of all of our rights and all of our parenting of our children right about the 1930s, because you have testified under oath back then. It was in 1951 it was testified under oath. At that point in time, there was about 4,000 members of the teachers union, and the un-American activities that was testified before it was either the House or the Senate. But it was at that point in time, of the 4,000 teachers members union, there was 1,000 of them were Communist Party members.
Right.
Yeah, that's a scary thought.
You're talking about the old McCarthyism stuff is what I'm thinking about.
But they like to scare the people. If you stop and think, like here in California, trying to pass the bills and stuff that says, hey, if you don't go along with this, we're going to take your parental right away, and you're abusing your children, and we're going to take control of them.
But that's the fundamental thing, and that's what we're talking about, is they can't take your right away unless you give it away, I guess.
Correct. And so, just a FYI, I graduated high school in the middle of the 90s, just to give you an idea of the time period that I was going to school. And I do know when I went to school, we were being taught, really told that, you know, the focus was on the federal elections. It was never on local elections.
Right.
We were always told that we're just one voice, and how many million, our voice doesn't count. And I remember being discouraged from having any say whatsoever in what was happening in government. And because we were being taught not to look locally.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's only been in the last few years here living in Reading and getting to know the community around here who is involved that I am realizing we can make a difference. And we need to step in and make a difference. And if we don't, you know, who's going to?
Right.
We have to stand up for the kids.
I agree with
you. And hopefully they'll be taught when they're in school that local elections matter.
I think what they should be is taught, not indoctrinated into a system that is controlled by a few people at the top that are telling them the information they want them to hear so that they become tools of the state. And I think that's what we've been seeing.
Yeah. So if they want to get a hold of you or get more information,
okay,
give us some information to put out there for you.
Okay, so first I'll give you my email. It's CAMILLECK44@gmail.com.
Holy moly.
But,
can they go to Facebook or something?
So the way to find my email, if you missed that, is I've got a website, CamilleKingForGateway.com, and you can spell four or use the number four. Either one will get you there. I've purchased both domains.
Smart.
But on the bottom of my webpage, there's a contact tab, and you can find my email on that conference.
I'm pulling it up right now, and I'll post it good picture.
You can only to vote. You have to be in Area 2, yes. I assume.
Area 2 of the Gateway Unified School District.
I am so confused about the Area Eric.
Well, when it comes to the school districts, there's so many, and I mean, the guideline is like.
I was on the committee for redistricting the districts, and I still can't figure out where all of these.
Wait. So wasn't that the one that they ignored?
Yeah, that was the one that they ignored. That was one of the big recall. That was one of the big recall things too. You know, I mean. They just did whatever they wanted. They put it together a committee, and then they ignored the committee, whatever they wanted.
And so the recap, the committee ended up putting together the plans based upon the districting, based upon the people that were there, based upon the thing that seemed like it was best for the city and the context of the law. And then
for the county and it was the county redistricting, but all of these districts overlapped and you kind of have to take them into consideration as a whole. And it's so complicated that I couldn't even tell you where Gateway Unified District number 2 is or area 2.
Yeah.
So maybe you can help me out.
Absolutely help you out. So basically north of 299. So if you get north of Gold Hills. If you're going to Oregon Trail and about Oasis Road North on Lake Boulevard.
Okay.
And stopping just shy of the lake. So
I guess I'm actually.
Wow, it's quite a big district.
I guess I'm actually in district area too, believe it or not. And I didn't even know that.
And that's a whole other rabbit trail when you're talking about the rezoning and redistricting.
Right.
So it's actually kind of funny if you look at the school board district, like Gold Hills would be in Gateway, but there's this little notch out of it that is in Columbia. It's like, you know, who lived there that wanted their kids in Columbia school when they zoned that area?
I guess
we're at the top of the hour. They are going to cut us off.
Let's hold her over.
Right. But we can keep you over if you got the time, and we'll pick up and go over a few more things after the top of the hour. All right. You are listening to KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM. Special I found.
Especially in blue states where progressive DAs have taken a softer approach to dealing with criminals, Florida Attorney General Ashley Moody has another suggestion.
Start pushing back very fiercely, consistently against the trends we're seeing nationally, whether that's organized retail theft, where retailers are not only shutting down at record rates, they are losing inventory to shrinkage. At historic rates. They say they've never lost this much. And what does that mean for the everyday citizen, that's the law-abiding citizen that's just trying to provide for their family? That means your costs go up.
She was a guest of the Salem Radio Network. Most of West Maui will officially reopen to travelers next month under a new wildfire emergency proclamation signed by Hawaii's governor. Part of the island's western coastline has been closed to visitors ever since devastating wildfires in August killed at least 115 people. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The government is spying on you. No surprise, I know. But did you know the banks are helping them? And did you know that withdrawing your cash from the bank can be very risky? That's right. Let Swiss America educate you about this. Banks are now required to spy on us for the government, and they report any behavior they think is suspicious. You'll be shocked when you read The Secret War on Cash from Swiss America. This new war against cash is really a war against the Constitution, against all freedom-loving Americans. You must read The Secret War on Cash. Get your free copy by calling or texting 800-266-6082. That's 800-266-6082. This war on cash is growing daily, and it also includes all forms of digital money. So please, get and read The Secret War on Cash free by calling or texting right now at 800-266-6082. That's 800-266-6082. Message and data rates may apply.
The government moves to force a Tennessee company to recall 52 million airbag inflators that could explode.
The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration says it has made an initial decision that the inflators made by ARC Automotive and under license by another company are defective. The agency scheduled a public hearing for October 5th, a required step before deciding to seek a court-ordered recall. In May, the agency asked ARC to recall the inflators, which it says are responsible for at least 7 injuries and 2 deaths in the U.S. and Canada since 2009, but ARC has refused to issue a full-scale recall. Jeremy House reporting.
Sri Lanka's president says he will appoint a committee to look into allegations that the South Asian country's intelligence committee was complicit in the 2019 Easter Sunday bombings. News and analysis at townhall.com. We are learning more about the beginnings of artificial intelligence.
As the AI craze grows, leading tech firms like Microsoft, OpenAI, and Google have acknowledged growing demand for their AI tools, but they're often very secretive when it comes to specifics. Few people in Iowa knew about its status as a birthplace of OpenAI's most advanced large language model, the GPT-4. That is, until a leading Microsoft executive accidentally spilled the beans in a speech saying it was, quote, literally made next to cornfields just west of Des Moines. Jason Walker reporting.
Today is Sunday, September the 10th, and some notable people are celebrating a birthday today, including actor Colin Firth, 63 years old. Baseball Hall of Famer Randy Johnson turns 60. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Back, Sovereign Mind Radio, home of Free Fire Media, community radio for the North State, and we're here with Camille King, and we're talking about her run for the school board up in the Gateway District area too. And you are a registered Republican, I'm assuming?
I'm a registered Republican, and I have been for as long as I can remember registered as a Republican.
I'm sorry. So, but your opponent is a registered Democrat, of which I'm very much more sorry. But, I'm a middle-of-the-road guy, I guess, but libertarian, so I'm always poking jabs. But one thing we know is like what Bongino says. He says, you know, all the Democrats aren't Republicans, even if some of the Republicans might be Democrats, but you know none of the Democrats are Republicans. So I think the Republicans are saying everything that they should be saying in general, and the Democrats have gone off the rails, as far as I can tell, with their policies and everything else. It's absolutely crazy. But do you know anything about your opponent at all that you'd like to get out there or say anything about?
I really don't know too much about him. I just know that he lives in the area, works with the Little League, and he has children at one of the schools a child in one of the schools in the area. And then he also lives in the area. And he's registered Democrat. That's all I know about him.
Yeah, that kind of puts a black mark on the table for me. I don't see how anybody stays a Democrat at this point in light of everything that's going on. I don't understand it. You know, I have to register as a Republican to vote in the primaries. Is the only reason.
That's what I hate.
I was independent beforehand.
I've been a libertarian. I voted for Ron Paul. That ought to tell you who where I'm at, you know. I met Ron Paul in 1984 and have been a libertarian, and because he lines up with everything on the money, I'm a money guy, we're mm-hmm. financial, we're consulting. If you don't know about the Fed and all that crap, and I'm not going to get into it, none of these other guys will bring it up. So that's been my big thing all along. And are we in financial trouble in America at this point? Any stretch? Is the budget way out of control? Are they printing money out of thin air? Are we borrowing money from who knows, the Fed with no interest? Yeah. It's like crazy, selling our bonds to China and everything else. So that's been my big thing, and that's been my big separation from the Republicans as a libertarian. But the Republicans are at least fiscally conservative, and on the child, I think the Democrats lose across the board on the child thing.
Mm-hmm. To an extent, the Republicans are fiscally conservative. Unfortunately, right. We have a lot of
corrupt.
Well,
they corrupt, say they are.
We have
a lot of corrupt Republicans.
People.
And it makes it bad. I'm sorry, but it makes it bad that you have to be a Republican in order on the ballot to float the primaries in California, which is BS.
Well, my beliefs tend to fall in line with Republican beliefs. I mean, for one, we are a constitutional republic. We are not a democracy.
I'm so glad to hear somebody else say that.
Yeah.
Yay!
But I believe in smaller government. I believe in, local control. And,
you're really screwed up.
Why, thank you.
And when did you go to school?
That's a badge of honor, in my opinion, actually.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
So. So we kind of got – so what's your plan if you get elected? What is your plan?
So if elected, my plan is to – stand in for Children First. So, of course, we need to have the focus being on education, and that's going to include extracurricular and arts and keep the ideologies. And there's, quite a few things that are working their way into the school system that don't need to be in the school system, that just needs to be focused on curricular and things that help them grow. So arts and extracurricular, even though they're not the curriculum, they're not their reading, math, and history, the extracurricular and the arts teach them so much, too. It teaches them teamwork, teaches them working towards goals, teaches both sides of the brain to work. So those are extremely important. Then making sure that parents' rights are protected. So right now there's some bills that they're working on passing in our state that are going to put more division between parents and kids, which isn't good for anybody. It hurts the kids. Because the kids won't.
It's good for the government.
Sure, but it hurts the kids in many ways. And the one being that, my kids are going to need me if they're going through the most troubling times. Right. Whether they know they need me or not, they do. And I remember when I was a kid, some of the things that I went through that I thought my mom is going to be so mad and I can't talk to her about it. But then I actually would sit down and talk to her about it, and she was really cool. And I was like, she understands me more than I ever knew that she would. I think a lot of these kids are in the same position. They don't know how understanding their parents are going to be. Their parents really need to be involved. And that will help the teachers, because a kid who has a healthier home life is going to be more balanced at school. They're going to act out less and be better behaved for the teachers. But then we also need to value the teachers. The teachers that I've had in my kids' lives, they've really put a lot into my kids. I could tell they truly cared about them. And that needs to be valued as well. And so on a school board, any decisions I make need to also be providing the tools the teachers need. And some of that's going to be learning on the job, but I can learn on the job. My main thing is I really need right now to do my best as a parent to protect kids from just harmful things that are coming.
Well, it's like, have you seen any instances of like CRT or of the pornographic woke crap at the schools that you're dealing with at the at the school level and the grade school level?
So I personally have not. I've seen I've seen parents that are posting what they're finding in the libraries. I have, and in some of our local schools, but I personally have not seen that.
Okay, that's interesting. So we're still having some semblance of common sense at the school board level, then, is what I'm hearing.
Well,
maybe not.
Maybe not quite like that.
Maybe that was
maybe
the wrong
not.
Way to put it.
Yeah.
So, what do you think? Are we going in the right direction?
So I do feel to an extent, I feel like the school board, the new superintendent they hired, he's very engaged. He seems like he knows he's in touch with what's going on in the different departments within the school district. The morale feels really high. So I was only at the one meeting since he's been here. And the morale felt really high in the school board meeting. And I do feel we can go in the right direction. And there's a lot that weighs on this position. So we've got right now on a lot of the heavier topics, we have a 2-2 vote on a lot of them. There's a couple people that are voting to kind of keep things in line with what they're what's coming down, and then a couple people that are trying to turn things around, and this position is going to make a big difference on what
this this is basically going to be the swing vote.
It is going to be the swing vote.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Very good.
And it's very important.
It is very important, and I do think that the school board can go in a very good direction, and I feel like the schools can, like, I'd love to see a sense of pride in going to the Gateway schools, and, you know, unfortunately, there is a reputation where people in the Gateway District have their kids elsewhere, and it would be lovely to have the, you know, to have the school's people say, I want my kid in this school district, and not take their kid elsewhere.
Well, is there anything else you want to get out there? Because we do have to move on. I got a couple other subject matters that we got to cover. So anything else you want to add to the discussion? And then we got to go to a Second Amendment issue here.
Not at this moment.
Well, we
put out your information one more time.
Okay, so my website is CamilleKing4Gateway.com, and my email is CamilleCK44@gmail.com.
Stop it. you can go to I did post it in the chat room, CamilleKing4Gateway. The 4 is not spelled out. It's a number 4.
And either or.
Either or.
Oh, either or?
I bought both domains.
Oh, well, there you have it. And then that's right. That's what you said. And then I did post it on my Facebook account under Mark Kent as well. And I'll post it on both of my Facebook accounts so you can get there. And, it was great having you come in. That was a very good, interesting conversation.
If anything comes up and you want to come back on, let me know, and we will get it out to the people.
And
thanks for stepping up.
Thank you, and I really appreciate you guys having me. Thank you.
And the other big thing, too, is once you're in there, if you see something that we need to be aware of as a community, this is a platform that you or anybody else who is in an elected official or trying to be, or you see something, let us know. Because this is what the community is about. This is what we need.
That's a great reminder. Yep. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yep.
Very good.
Especially when it comes to kids.
All right. Mm-hmm. Yep. So we did have a huge thing happen this last week on open carry in California, in the Ninth Circuit, and I want to get this out there while we still have some time, and I know we've got somebody waiting to call in and.
Probably, yeah, in regards to it.
Probably, yeah. I want to play this clip because this is from Copper Jacket TV, and I think it kind of covers, in a broad sense, what we're talking about with this. I want to at least get this out there so that and we do have Stone on the line. And hold on. I'm going to play this clip, Stone, and then I think it'll give you a bunch of talking points in order to go over. It's about a 3 or 4 minute clip. And here we go. This is on this Ninth Circuit decision with Baird versus Bonta. Here we go.
Get to it. Okay, so let's go and talk about what's going on here. This is extremely exciting. I know that not everybody's a huge fan of open carry, but in places like California where, you know, everything is limited, you got to take whatever action you can to defend yourself. So in California, there's a case called Baird v. Bonta. I believe it's pronounced Baird. It's B-A-I-R-D. Now, this case has been going around for a while now. They've been trying to get an injunction stopping enforcement of California's ban on open carry because they say that it's conduct that's protected by the Second Amendment and California is not allowed to ban it. So obviously they go for an injunction at the district court level. Now, just recently, the district court judge decided to deny their injunction. But in denying their injunction, he used the two-step approach, the interest balancing approach that the Supreme Court in Bruin said you're not allowed to use anymore. So the plaintiffs decided that, well, they're going to appeal that denial for an injunction up to the Ninth Circuit, which has not been super friendly to the Second Amendment. And you just kind of never know what's going to happen once you get there. Well, it turns out that the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals absolutely smacked down the district court's order, actually calling an abuse of discretion. So the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals basically told the district court that you got it, not only did you get it wrong, but you got it so wrong that it was blatantly abusive. I mean, I've never heard language like this from the Ninth Circuit before, and I want to read you guys some of it now, and that'll lead us into how we're getting open carry in California. So let me just read you something real quick. Now, try and keep in mind that this is language from the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals to the district court. You don't usually hear language like this from the Ninth Circuit. But it says here, to the district court, the panel reversed the district court's denial of appellate's motion for a preliminary injunction seeking to enjoin enforcement of California Penal Code sections that impose criminal penalties for the unlicensed open carry of a handgun and remanded with instructions. The panel held that the district court abused its discretion by applying an incorrect legal standard to deny appellant's motion for a preliminary injunction. Instead of analyzing the first factor set forth in Winter v. Knapp, whether appellants are likely to succeed on the merits of their claim, the district court erroneously determined that because the public interest and balance of harms disfavored the issuance of a preliminary injunction, it was not necessary to assess appellant's likelihood of success on the merits. Analysis of this first Winter factor is centrally important where a plaintiff alleges a violation of a constitutional right, including the individual's right to carry a handgun for self-defense outside the home under the Second Amendment pursuant to the NYSRPA v. Bruin. A government may regulate the manner of that carry only if it demonstrates that the regulation is identical or closely analogous to a firearm regulation broadly in effect when the Second or Fourteenth Amendment was ratified. The panel set forth three requirements to guide the district court's preliminary injunction analysis on remand. The district court's analysis of the first Winter factor must include consideration of whether the conduct that California's general open carry ban regulates is covered by the text of the Second Amendment. If it is, California bears the burden to identify a well-established and representative historical analog to its open carry ban that was in force when the Second or 14th Amendment was ratified. Noting that it has been more than 4 years since the appellants first moved for a preliminary injunction and more than 14 months since Bruin was decided, the panel directed the district court to complete its preliminary injunction review expeditiously. If the district court determines that appellants showed that they are likely to succeed on the merits of their claim, the district court must account for the impact that determination has on the remaining Winter factors when it analyzes each of them. This means recognizing that, in this case involving a constitutional claim, a likelihood of success on the merits usually establishes irreparable harm and strongly tips the balance of equities and public interest in favor of granting the preliminary injunction. So we'll just skip to the bottom here where it says, conclusion, we reverse the denial of a preliminary injunction if it results from an abuse of discretion, which is exactly what the court says happened here. Hereby declining to assess appellant's likelihood of success on the merits of their Second Amendment claim, the district court abused its discretion by failing to apply proper preliminary injunction standard for a case raising a constitutional challenge. We therefore reverse and remand, recognizing that the preliminary injunction proceedings in this case have been ongoing for more than 4 years. We instruct the district court to complete its reevaluation of the requested preliminary injunction and issue a decision expeditiously.
Now I'm going to stop it there because we have on the phone line with this both parties to this this court action. We've got Richard Gallardo and we've got Mark Baird on the line with this, and I wanted to have play this clip forward because it kind of covers all the things that in the court proceeding that, you know, we want to talk about, and you guys could give us your insights. So I'm not sure.
Can we
get them both on at the same time
and they hear one another?
Yes, we can do this.
Okay. Let's bring them both on.
Are you there? Hello.
Is Richard, anybody there?
Let's try.
Testing. Is anybody?
Rich is here. I'm here.
Okay, right. We got them both on. I don't know who wants to go first with this, but it's go and wherever you want to start.
Well, let me bring up two other issues for the Tuesday board meeting.
Hello.
And then I'm obviously going to defer to Mark Barrett on the 2A thing. So let me do about a minute.
I think I got cut off.
On the board meeting coming up, and then I'm actually going to hang up.
All right. Hold up one minute, Rich.
We can
Mark.
Hear. Wait, hold on, Linda.
Mark, are you there?
Good.
I'm here.
Okay. If you just wait, Stone is going to go ahead. You didn't get cut off.
Okay.
So I want to talk about this Tuesday's board meeting. Item R3, we're going to be hearing and an action item for a vote to establish citizen election oversight over the registrar of voters. This is huge. This law has been on the books for 20 years, likely never used before. We are going to make history. The election integrity is the utmost importance. Without a fair and transparent election.
Somebody needs to turn down their radio. We can hear it in the background. I think it's probably you, Rich.
No, I'm outside. Oh, I'm outside.
Somebody's got a radio on somewhere.
Okay, it's not me. So, please, we need to fill up the chambers and support the vote for election oversight. Second item and last item on Tuesday, failed public health director Janelle Ewert is on the agenda to be appointed to the Mosquito Vector Control Board. There's another failed public health person on that board currently. His name is Dave Marin. Here's the key. Dave Marin, Janelle Ewert, they both oversaw vaccine clinics during the previous COVID without fully informed consent to the people. Violation of many federal laws and regulations and state laws and regulations. Here's where I'm going to connect the dots. The GMO mosquitoes that have been released in Florida have been refused in Texas. They are coming to California next year. They are coming to California next year. I believe Dave Marin, Janelle Ewert, desires to be on that board because I believe they want to hide the true facts of GMO mosquitoes. I think that's why they're on the board. By the way, Janelle Ewert is replacing somebody that just left the mosquito board. Guess who that was? Benjamin Hanna. Connect the dots, people. I'm going to hang up and let Mark take over the QA. Appreciate the time.
Thanks.
Right. Thanks for the call.
Thanks for calling in.
Mark, you're up next.
Okay.
Well, where do you want to start, Mark? You want to do? Should we bash Mueller a little while before we get to the meat?
Well, yeah, I think the federal court did a pretty good job. The appellate court took 30 pages bashing her. I was reading that. I actually couldn't believe. I mean, I knew we had a couple of votes. I didn't know it was going to be unanimous, which it was. And I had no idea they were going to really take her to school like they did. And I think it's just fantastic. I don't know. I couldn't have imagined that coming out any better.
Well, we talked about it the other day. Is she going to follow the directive from the Ninth Circuit? I guess they're not her bosses, and she does have judicial discretion, I guess, to not follow their directive. But if she does, are there any consequences consequences if she doesn't?
Well, I mean, if she doesn't do what they ask her of her or order her, in this case, what they ordered her to do, then we can file a mandamus and they'll do it for her. I mean, that's certainly one outcome. But they're funny. These judges are funny. I mean, they'll give each other a tremendous amount of latitude. So they told her to do it expeditiously, but they didn't say what that meant, so she could drag that out a while, but not forever. I mean, I would think not more than 60 days, and I think she'll drag it out every bit of 60 days because that's how she is. She intends for me to be dead before she does anything about this case. But the open question is, does she care about her reputation and she is the chief magistrate in California's Eastern District. Does she care about that or not? So that's probably going to be one determining factor, or does she care more about being a good little Democrat than she does being a good judge? That'll be another determiner, but the Ninth Circuit could do it for her if she doesn't act, but the timeline is definitely up in the air. They don't give a timeline, and they can't force her within a certain timeline, although they can get tired of waiting and do it for her.
So if she decides to drag it out and you file the writ of mandamus, that would kick it back up into the Ninth Circuit and then for them to make a decision immediately?
Yeah, I mean, you file a writ of mandamus, and if they accept the writ, because they have the freedom to accept the writ or not, now they could do two things. They could say, hey, Judge Mueller, you rule on this and you got 3 days or 5 days or 10 days or whatever they give her. Or they could just say, well, it's obvious you're not going to do your job, so we'll do it for you. And at that point, if that was the case, we would ask for a permanent injunction because it would be certainly indicative of future performance on her part. In other words, if she won't follow the instructions of a higher court, then certainly she's not going to do what's right in her own court, and perhaps we could get a permanent injunction and just be done with it right then, unless the state of California tried to take it en banc. Now, they could do that.
I think they'd be kind of stupid to do that, because even if we win this, it only really affects California and Hawaii. All the other states in the Ninth Circuit are open carry anyway.
So if they took it on bonk and kicked it up to the Supreme Court level, they could lose in, you know, whatever, how many states are in the Ninth Circuit, what, nine or something?
Yeah, 11, I think. Oh. But if they lost and we kicked it up to the Supreme Court and they lost there, now everybody in the nation is open carry.
Yeah, that's a problem. That's what the preliminary injunction is about. You know, explaining it to the listeners out there. If you get the preliminary injunction at this level, that what that does is that gives us open carry in the state of California for pending any further litigation.
Yeah, what it does is it gives us relief from the enforcement of an unconstitutional law, while the case winds its way through the court. And obviously, I mean, it's been almost 5 years just to find out whether we're going to get the preliminary injunction. So obviously, under the auspices of judges like Mueller, it might be, you know, 10, 12 years before this case finally gets finished. And we would have open carry the entire time. So that would either force them to act more speedily if they want to get rid of us, or something like that. But we would at least have our liberty in the meantime. And if we get a permanent injunction, well, then it's over.
Yeah, that's interesting. And so evidently, the higher court basically said that they were handling the Second Amendment claim as if it was not, doesn't have the same weight or carry the same weight as any other right in the Constitution. They're giving it a second class citizenship of a constitutional right, and they had a problem with that, I'm assuming.
Yeah, I mean, that's because the Bruin Court specifically said in its holding that the Second Amendment is not a second class right with a different set of rules than all the other rights. It's a first tier enumerated right, the same as the first, second, third, fourth, and fifth through 10, and therefore it deserves the same consideration as those other enumerated rights do. And they were very specific about that. And also, I found one weakness in what the appellate court said, because the appellate court said unless California can find a law that is similar to laws passed in either 1791 or 1868, but the Bruin Court was very clear about that as well. They said the only time you could use the history that surrounds the ratification of the 14th Amendment is if it affirms the text of the Second Amendment, because the 14th Amendment did not ratify a watered-down Bill of Rights. In other words, the Bruin Court wanted people to understand that in 1868, when they ratified the 14th Amendment, that the Bill of Rights that they accepted in the Due Process Clause was exactly the same Bill of Rights ratified in 1791, or else we'd have two constitutions and two Bill of Rights and two ways of treating free speech and freedom from unreasonable searches and so on and so forth. So the Bruin Court was very specific that 14th Amendment, Second Amendment rights are the same as they were in 1791.
But they've actually been trying to have two constitutions, basically, if you look at it from that perspective. I hadn't thought about that, because if they can chip away at the Second Amendment right, what's to stop them from chipping away at all the other rights as well in the state of California? And
it's not just a California issue. I'm sure, Mark, you're probably aware of what took place over in New Mexico on September 7th in regards to the governor's order.
Yeah.
So for those of you who are not
can
aware.
You imagine that in the world we live in, that a governor would stand up and say, my oath of office to support and defend the Constitution of the United States is not absolute, and I can do whatever I want.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's kind of like what we've been seeing with the constitutional sheriffs at the local level. You know, the Constitution, the plain text says you have the right to keep and bear arms, but our local sheriffs, and I'm sure your sheriff up there in Siskiyou County, they say, we'll do whatever the state says. Well, you can't have it both ways. You can't say I'm here to support and defend the Constitution, but I'll arrest you if you exercise that right. And it looks like that we might actually have the courts uphold that right at this point.
But that's what's making a difference in New Mexico is the sheriff is saying, no, I will not go with what the governor is saying. I will hold
it. Good to
it.
See him stand
yeah,
up.
Yeah, he's standing yeah. up and saying, no, I'm not going to do it.
Which is what we should have had our sheriffs do here. Go ahead, Mark.
Well, that was one thing that the appellate court also touched on because, you know, the state makes a big deal about 25-850 and 26-350 and 26-400, the open carry and loaded or unloaded firearms. They say, well, there are exceptions. I mean, and the appellate court made the point of mentioning the fact that, well, you could get a permit in counties of less than 200,000 people to openly carry a loaded weapon, but the state offered no proof whatsoever that any sheriff has ever issued such a permit. And they additionally said, and in addition to that, the people who live in counties of less than 200,000 people comprise 5% of the people in California. Therefore, even if sheriffs had ever issued a permit like that, which they haven't, and the state never, in fact, it was through an Administrative Procedures Act that I found out no such permit has ever been issued, that the state, so 95% of the people in California would have no Second Amendment right whatsoever. And the appellate court made a pretty big point of that. And based on those things, they're scolding Mueller because the merits of the case obviously favor the plaintiffs, us. The state could not prove that we would not succeed on the merits because if they could have, they would have at least tried, and they didn't. So she had to go with the public safety argument because that's all the state has.
Well, her job is to be a fair and impartial judge, not somebody who tries to figure out how to help the prosecution on this case.
Or either side.
Well,
she's supposed to
the appellate court hammered her on. Yeah, the appellate court hammered her on that part too. They said your job isn't to work for the state. Your job is to look at the case as each of the parties presents it, not to create a case for one of the parties, which she's been doing for 5 years. And in the oral argument, so one of the judges made a point of that, too. But I think that these judges were extremely bright. I mean, they were very intelligent, extremely articulate. They wrote a really good decision that has no holes in it, and it has no flaws. So what you could say to yourself is, if there is justice in any court in California, we will win this case.
That's excellent.
Yeah, it's good news because I'll tell you what, they can put that in their pipe and smoke it down there in Sacramento as far as I'm concerned.
But there is no time limit on it, Mark, for her to respond. Is that correct?
There is no mechanism to make a federal judge do their job. Other than removal for for malfeasance and criminal conduct,
but this is kind of a slap down from the higher court, which I haven't seen them do here in the Ninth Circuit ever.
That's
you know, fair. So it's kind of a big deal the way that they reprimanded her, don't you think?
Yeah, it is. It's a pretty big deal. It's not unique, believe me, but it is a pretty big deal in a Second Amendment case for the Ninth Circuit to actually slap down a federal circuit judge for not doing her job appropriately with regard to the Second Amendment. So that's a big deal, and that telegraphs a big change to come for us, I hope. The question is, what will she do? Now, Richard was texting me earlier, and he brought up a good point. He said, well, could she just retire and then, step away from the bench, and then we have to start all over with some other judge?
We can only hope.
I mean, well, no, because, if you do that, then, okay, there's another year because the judge is going to walk in and say, well, I don't know anything about this case, so I need a year to read the papers.
Well, I'd like to see her retired, but maybe she should wait till after this case is settled.
Well, I mean, she's the chief magistrate, and she hasn't had that job very long. I mean, maybe a year or so. So I'm sure she's enjoying her chief magistrate office, and my prayer is that she likes being a judge more than she likes being a hoity-toity Democrat.
Right. Mark, with that, we need to take a break, and
sure.
We'll pick this up on the other side. You are listening to KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
Right Now is a magazine formatted show that airs at 6 p.m. on Thursday evenings right here on KCNR. Here's the lineup. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, covering film, theater, and what's happening in the North State. The second Thursday is Heroes of the North State with your host, Michelle Slade. The third Thursday is Enjoy the Magazine and Store with your hosts, James Masada and Rhonda Alvey. The fourth Thursday is a new show called Man Up with Ted Leidy and Carl Bott. That's North State Now every Thursday night right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Brought to you by your friends at the Reading Civic Auditorium. For tickets and show info, visit ReadingCivic.com and Axiom Repertory Theater, Charlu's Tap House, Umbrella Marketing, and Tobacco M Brew.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Join Tokens Radio Show every Sunday at 2 p.m. on 96.5 FM and AM 1460 as hosts Christy Matthews and Linda Kent explore the exciting world of cryptocurrency and blockchain technology. Learn how Bitcoin is revolutionizing finance and grasp sound money principles. Hear new perspectives on achieving financial freedom beyond broken institutions. The future of money is here. Empower yourself with knowledge. Listen to Tokens Radio Show with Linda and Christy this Sunday at 2 p.m. on KCNR. Big and exciting changes are underway.
About that.
So anyway, we're
damn
back.
Camera to work.
We're just talking about different stuff, with this decision and any repercussions if she doesn't follow the rules and so forth, as far as Mueller. And we've dealt with Mueller before, so there's no love lost there at all on several issues, specifically
right.
the State of Jefferson issue and that slap down. So. You know,
well, it's hard to believe. I was talking with Mark the other day that it's been over 4 years just on this case with her.
Mm-hmm.
4 years.
Now, I did want to address one quick question that one of the viewers had in regards to what took place on the 7th. So this is from Governor Michelle Grisham. Today I signed an executive order declaring gun violence a public health emergency. To my fellow citizens, get loud, step up, demand change from your neighbors, from your friends, and from communities and your elected leaders. Enough is enough. More coming from me tomorrow. What she did is she put a 30-day kibosh on anybody being able to carry any firearms concealed or open carry, and the sheriff, to his credit, has come out and said, no, that's in violation.
See, this, but this is the game, is that they're declaring emergencies about everything. It's all about emergencies, because what that does is give them broad powers. It's like the COVID emergency. They changed all the election mm-hmm. rules. So you're going to see emergency after emergency, climate change emergency,
right.
you know, gun rights emergency, safety emergency, because what that does is that kicks these people into another power zone where they can abuse their power, because most of these climate change emergency or COVID emergency is being utilized against the people as a, and they're weaponizing that emergency powers in order to do and make changes to the system that they normally wouldn't have the power to do. But let's get back to Mark on this. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you fine now.
So we're just talking about the Emergency Powers Act of the gal or the governor of New Mexico.
New Mexico, yeah. And they always do it under, you know, safety. Everything is safety, you know.
Well, that was interesting because, once again, the Bruin Court very specifically denied public safety as a logical reason or a legal reason to deny Second Amendment guarantees or any Bill of Rights constitutional guarantee, because they said that public safety implicates a lot of the amendments to the Bill of Rights. But if the government wants to balance the interest of government over the interest of the people in maintaining their rights, the people maintaining their rights will always win, because it's always in the interest of the people to maintain constitutional guarantees. And the Bruin Court went further to say that the Second Amendment was the balance of the interest between the people to remain armed, to defend themselves against tyranny and violence, and the balance of the interest in the government in taking those guns away for the reason of public safety or public order or whatever hill they want to fight on that day. And the Emergency Services Act in California, and I've read that thing several times, doesn't give the governor any extra constitutional power at all. It only gives him the ability to take people out of one agency and put them in another, take money out of some agency and loan it to another, unless we are actually at war or have been invaded. That's the only time the governor can do anything that even approaches extra constitutional. And I'm sure in New Mexico they have some sort of framework that's about the same.
Well, what they're doing though is they're using it as a lever for fear, because if they get the population afraid, then they're more manipulative. They can manipulate everything more to get that emergency power because the people will acquiesce it.
Yeah, that's true. And if they can get the people of Albuquerque ginned up, then they can outvote the entire rest of the state. And we were talking about that on Terry's show, because the method of representation now is fully apportioned by population in all state elections in all 50 states. And so large cities outvote the rest of the state every time. And the only political power resides in urban areas, which are typically Democrats. And that was by design, I'm sure, under Justice Warren. But in Second Amendment cases, we can get around that with the courts upholding the Constitution, and that's why I chose to do this. Because court, even as hard as it is, even in California, is the only place where one person can challenge the entire government of the United States or a state or whatever the case may be and win. You can't do it in the legislature. You can't do it anywhere else. But you have some hope in court as long as you can afford to pay for it.
Yeah,
that's true.
It's amazing, and we take our hats off to you, Mark. No. This has been a long, hard road, and you're a real trooper and a patriot to stick on this for this length of time and see it through, because it's this is the fight. Government is inherently evil, and that's what the founders' precept of the whole constitutional outline was, that you had to protect us from the government. It's not that so we had to limit their ability to take our rights away, because if you don't, then what happens over time is they'll slowly consume everything into the power of the government, and then pretty soon you end up with a feudal system. These whole progressive ideas that we need to progress into a better system is exactly the opposite of what they're doing. They're progressing back into a type of a feudal system where the government controls and owns everything.
Yeah, and let me read you something about from California's paper to the Ninth Circuit, their argument as to why we should be denied the preliminary injunction. And this was a big point in the last hearing we had in Sacramento. The state's attorney was absolutely beside himself, not because of the gun, but because we want to carry the gun without government permission. And here's what the state said: that the plaintiffs are unlikely to prevail in their claim that they have a right to openly carry a firearm in public in a wholly unregulated manner. Well, what does the Second Amendment say? It says the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. And doesn't infringement imply regulation of some kind?
Yeah.
Well, it says we the people given unalienable rights from God, and people just completely miss that, because what they don't seem to get here is that if the government gives you your rights, the government can take them away. You don't have to be a religious zealot to understand that if your God-given rights are given to you from God, that the only one that can take them away is God. So it puts a roadblock between the government infringing upon your rights, period. Whether you're religious or not is not even necessarily the issue.
So I've got two things here. For good men, or for evil to win, all it takes is for good men to do nothing. So, Mark, I really appreciate you standing up for this, because you're one of the few people that would. But to the point of the constitutionality of a lot of these things, you just see wholly in whole cloth grabbing it all and tossing it, throwing it all out. So, for instance, the governor of New Mexico here, she's not just in violation of the Second Amendment from the United States Constitution. On the New Mexico Constitution, Article 2, Section 5, no law shall abridge the right of a citizen to keep and bear arms for security and defense, for lawful hunting and for recreational use and for other lawful purposes, but nothing herein shall be held to permit the carrying of concealed weapons. No municipality or county shall regulate in any way, in any incident of any right to keep and bear arms as amended on November 2nd, 1971 and November 2nd, 1986. So when you look at that, there is no way in which she could even possibly be considered to be anywhere within the realm of legalities, and people like this need to be taken out of office, quite frankly, and never be able to hold it again.
Well, that's how they get around this stuff, though. She claims, well, I'm not passing a law. This is temporary in nature so that we can examine our conscience about this violence that's occurring in our towns and cities because they don't have any law and order anymore. But, she's saying this is temporary and it's simply an executive order. So it's not a law. And that's how they try to do it. Well, I'm just saying that this is required. I'm not passing legislation. I'm not interfering with the Constitution. I'm just ordering you to ignore it. And I think those things are either vapid, they're illusory, and quite frankly, I'm with you. This gal ought to be in prison.
Right.
And her cell should be directly adjacent to Gavin Newsom, because I'm sure he doesn't know whether he's a man or a woman either, so he could go to women's prison.
and you made a good point, Mark. It's temporary, because she only put 30 days on it for now, is where she started.
I remember when it was just 2 weeks
course,
to slow the spread.
Necessary.
Yeah, exactly. They'll keep extending it.
Exactly.
And do we need to go over the definition of what a man and a woman is again from Black's Law, or should we just let that one go, I guess? But
I think that's probably been beat to death of late, so we could probably let that go.
There's a movie about it.
Well, the Constitution is a roadblock, barrier, if you will, to this new world order that they're trying to get in. That's what I think this whole thing really is all about. You know, from whatever the blue states, these guys have all been brainwashed in this thinking that you're going to have some kind of utopian society at some point. And this is straight out of the Communist Manifesto. And what we end up with is government controlling and owning everything, and you're supposed to be happy. And the reason you're happy is because they told you to be happy. And at the end of the day, our standard of living ends up being at the bequest of some government agency or some government authoritarian.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And the Ministry of Truth is in charge. And 2 + 2 = 5, and it's not enough that you admit it. You have to believe it. And if you're not a true believer, then you're one of the enemies, and we have ways of dealing with you. And that's exactly how the state of California approaches everything now. And that's why we need to break this state up, because there's no other way to fix it. Literally.
Well, they
cannot fix California. We have to get away from them.
We are in a police state at this point nationwide, in my opinion, because if you look at the way the Equal Protection Under the Law Clause has been handled of late, you see Antifa and guys going around burning and looting and all this stuff, but some people that stormed the Capitol peacefully, and there might have been some rioting going on, but that's an insurrection, and those guys are all seeing 20 years in prison, and they don't prosecute anybody else. So what you're having here is this incremental stepping stone towards the police state in the last 20 years. Well, I think we're there.
We're well past there.
Well, yeah, past there, I could have believed it. When I read that book, 1984, I said, I thought, you know, it's the same thing as the Dick Tracy wrist radio. Oh, this is crazy. This kind of stuff can't ever happen in the United States. I mean, you know, and here we are.
Yep.
Well, and now they're starting to go after people for just talking about January 6th and saying...
Well, what do you think they got Trump charged with? By saying he thought that the election was rigged, and now if he doesn't believe that, he's a criminal?
Yeah. Well, and so Enrique Tarrio, for instance, he got sentenced for 22 years. He was not present on January 6th. He wasn't even in Washington, D.C. However, he was ended up banned from Washington, D.C., but they said that he was the leader of Trump's army. So if he's the leader of Trump's army and they gave him 22 years for not being present at all, and there's not any evidence suggesting that he told anybody to do that. There was vague evidence that they tried to compile together and acting like he supported it afterwards, and they sentenced him to 22 years based upon that.
That's called arbitrary abuse of power. That's why tyranny, what they do is they can go after anybody they want, their political enemies.
Most rapists get 15 years in jail, and most of them meet parole at 7 years. He doesn't have that opportunity. He will be in there for 22 years.
Well, unless Trump gets in, and then I bet Trump pardons every one of them. So
he needs to at this point.
I agree.
There needs to be whole cloth, absolutely every single one of them there. This is the biggest farce in American history, and this is actually, quite frankly, an insurrection against the United States of America and the voters.
Well,
you've got like Missouri that is trying to get Trump off the ballot or has had no ballots removed.
Wait and see.
Because of the premise of the 14th Amendment, which is all a bunch of BS because that's about insurrection, which didn't happen.
There are
so we got 5 minutes left here, and I want to give Mark the opportunity to kind of conclude, give us the conclusion on what he thinks, where this is at. Is this a victory? Where are we going? And wrap this all up. We got about 4 minutes left to the top of the hour. All right, go ahead, Mark.
This is undoubtedly a victory. It's more than I could have ever hoped or prayed for. The Ninth Circuit Court did a great job. They hit the nail on the head in almost every area except the 1868 thing, and we can overcome that with an amicus brief or a filing. I just could not have hoped for a better outcome. Now, the open question is, will Judge Mueller be shamed into doing her job? I hope that she is. I pray that she is. We'll find out very shortly. I can't imagine she could drag this out more than 60 days without repercussion, and we will be prepared to immediately file a mandamus if it even goes close to that long. So I think we've got a win here. I think that if the state had merits that they could prove their case, they would have used them, and they don't. They only have this public safety thing, and they're only rattled because you may have some liberty in your life. And remember one thing, and I said this on Terry's show, liberty first, liberty always, because without liberty, the state of California will not allow you to keep your money or your property. So we need to regain our liberty to make sure that our children and our grandchildren have lives here where they have some say in their own lives.
Well, Karl Marx said that if you summed up the Communist Manifesto succinctly, it was the abolition of all private property. And that seems to be right in line with this New World Order crap of you will own nothing and be happy. And that's really what this is all about, is complete takeover if we let it happen. But, you know, kudos, Mark. Great job. You know, I don't know how to praise you as much as I could or say what needs to be said. But, boy, we really appreciate and love you.
Well, praise God, because this is his doing, and I thank all the people that have supported this financially because they're not asking for credit. They just want their freedom back, and I would love to help them get it.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Well, and unfortunately, it's probably not over as far as the finance piece.
Well,
oh, no,
maybe we should
over.
Ask people for donations.
Yeah,
now.
That's where I'm going. You know, if you want to help support the cause, you can always send a check and put in the memo for 2A to 14421 Old Oregon Trail, Suite B, Redding, California 96003. And again, I want to thank everybody that it has helped support and is supporting us.
Very good. Oh. I think
did we lose you, Mark?
Nope, I'm still here.
Oh,
thank
that was
kind of
weird.
Linda.
All right, very good.
Yeah.
I guess I'm not sure how much time. I think we got about a minute left. So when I say this, I say at the end of every show, maybe it has a little more meaning this time. Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. It is force, and force like fire is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. That was George Washington. And hopefully we'll see you all
and
next
week. And thanks again, Mark. We appreciate it.
Amen.
All gun control's racist. See you all next week.
Time to meet your greatness. Take the power, throw it to the world. Let's see what you can do. It's getting harder to unplug your old brown and anchor set. Let's hope we wake up real soon. Take a walk along the ocean. Make a moment last. Show an act of kindness. Don't expect it back.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.